Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And on the cool check-in, center stage on the mic, and we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
4 and 3 and 2 and 1.
What up?
And when I'm on the mic, the suckers run.
Word.
Digital downloads may be hot, but the Beastie Boys are right. Vinyl records are anything but dead. This is Soundcheck. I'm Joel Meyer, one of the show's producers, sitting in today for John Schaefer. Coming up on the show, Christopher Denny, a singer-songwriter from Little Rock, Arkansas, performs live in our studio. And the show Yo Gabba Gabba tries to make kids' TV more entertaining for parents. But first, over the last century, the music industry has sent plenty of recorded formats to the graveyard. Wax cylinders, shellac 78s, 8-track tapes, and my personal favorite, the ka-single. So, with digital downloads ready to kill off the compact disc, why are sales of vinyl LPs on the rise? In a moment, we'll ask a New York record store owner about his vinyl customers, but first, we're joined on the phone by Ed Christman, senior retail correspondent for Billboard magazine. He's written about the tiny but growing market for vinyl albums. Ed, welcome to Soundcheck.
How you doing now?
So, Ed, vinyl sales are increasing. Tell us, how big is the increase?
Well, the increase in terms of percentage is large. It's a 22% increase, but in terms of units, we're still talking about a small amount of vinyl. Last year at this time, in the first 7 months of the year, 433,000 vinyl albums had been counted, whereas this year it's 527,000 units. So you're seeing, percentage-wise, a big increase, but since the base is so small, that's why the percentage increase is so large.
So, and let's clarify right away, we're talking about brand new albums. That may come as a surprise to some of our listeners.
Yeah, there appears to be a growing tide among all labels recognizing that vinyl is catching on with, and this is even more of a surprise, with the younger audience, the people who everyone believes is downloading and listening to music through their iPods.
So you're talking about a 22% increase this year. Why is it increasing?
Well, again, I would suggest, like anything that happens in this world, it comes from the grassroots, ground up, so to speak. For whatever reason, vinyl has always been a part of the indie sector. When you go back during the 90s, there was still the indie labels were putting out of vinyl singles, but that that kind of ran into trouble along the way, and vinyl singles started to lose popularity. But somewhere along the lines, somebody started putting out vinyl albums, and now you have a lot of indie labels putting out, with every release, if you look at somebody like Victory Records or Light in the Attic, whatever release that they issue, they make it available both in vinyl and in the CD. Now, in addition to which, the independent retail stores are someone who are fighting for their lives against the big box retailers in order to distinguish themselves. Not only do they carry niche music, but they also carry the configurations that the big boxes no longer carry. And again, that would be vinyl.
We're talking with Ed Christman, Billboard senior retail correspondent, about vinyl records and an increase in sales this year, even while the CD appears to be losing steam and maybe losing steam fast. Vinyl record sales are up this year. And why are labels still pressing vinyl? Why do they want to do if it's such a small part of the overall market that it shares with CDs and digital downloads?
Well, as you pointed out, the CD business is going down, and the business in general, the music industry sales are off about 50% this year. So people are looking for every niche they can to grow their business, and vinyl is one of the areas that they're focusing on. Particularly if you're a small label, and you put out vinyl, you're not competing against the majors so much. Although the majors are starting to become aware of the trend and they're starting to get into it. So whereas vinyl is only something like 0.2% of overall sales, at a small label it could be 2 or 3 or 4% of sales. At an independent record store, vinyl could be as much as 8 or 10% of overall sales.
One of the smaller labels that you mentioned earlier, the Chicago-based Victory Records label, they're putting out a lot of vinyl on their catalog. Also, Little Steven, better known to most of us as Steven Van Zandt and that guy on The Sopranos, he has a record label called Wicked Cool, issuing a lot of vinyl on that label. Let's take a listen to one of his artists. This is the Len Price 3 and If I Ain't Got You here on Soundcheck. Price 3, If I Ain't Got You, from their Rent-A-Crown LP. And you might be able to buy that on vinyl because its label Wicked Cool that issues that record is issuing a lot of stuff on vinyl. We've been talking to Ed Christman, who is the Billboard Senior Retail Correspondent. We'll talk to Ed in just a second, but let's bring in Josh Medell into the conversation. He's the co-owner of Other Music, a Manhattan record store and online retailer. They sell, in addition to CDs, vinyl LPs. Josh, welcome to Soundcheck.
Hey, and actually, we just for that intro, we actually now are selling MP3s also, so I see all sides of the business.
All right, well, we'll talk about that in a second because it's interesting that you've started a new digital store that sells MP3s. But let's talk about your vinyl sales. First up, you've heard Ed talking. Are you selling more vinyl at Other Music?
Yeah, we are, and the numbers are probably somewhat similar to what he said. Meaning, for an indie store, it's still a small part overall of our business. We might do as much as 10% of our business in a week is vinyl now, which is definitely up. We were doing maybe 5%, and now we're edging up. And it's percentage-wise, it's been a big growth. It's not huge overall. Still selling a lot more CDs, but that's where we are.
So why is it growing? Is it cool again? What's the reason that you're seeing such an uptick in vinyl sales?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a lot of reasons. I think a lot of it is really just, the music that we sell is all underground music. It's really a store targeted at real music fans, music aficionados, people who really care about the artists, really care about, it's not a disposable item to them. I mean, even on our MP3 store, we saw a lot more album downloads than single downloads. And I think it shows that, the customers who buy vinyl are people who are really listening to it. They don't want something that they can put on random in their iPod. They don't want something that they can just stack a bunch of CDs there and kind of flip through them. It's a much more interactive mode. I do think records sound great, maybe sound better than any other format, and that's part of it. But it's also just, to me, it seems a lot more permanent and a lot more, it's a fetish object. It's something you can hold and look at and really feel, you sit around with your friends playing records and flipping it over when you're halfway through. You're a lot more involved in the music when you're listening to an album.
So, I mean, how much are people willing to pay for that? How much does an album cost compared to its CD counterpart?
Well, it's funny because back in the day, albums were always cheaper than CDs. When they started introducing CDs, a typical LP was $8 or $9, and then CDs came in, they were 13 or 14 or something. But I think largely due to manufacturing costs going way up because production is way down, albums are oftentimes more expensive than CDs now, and a lot of labels are doing these real audiophile, really high-class vinyl editions. So people are paying for it. I mean, that's, to me, that's a funny part of it, is that, I think labels sort of prematurely chose to kill off the album 10 years ago and, you know, stopped producing records, really started pushing consumers to buy CDs. A lot of record plants have closed, and now production on it is a lot more expensive. You know, it used to be, like, for singles, 7-inch singles, you used to always sell them for $3, $4, and now, you know, it's hard to buy one for less than $5 or $6, and it's all because of the production costs.
So you use the term fetish a little bit earlier. I mean, so people are really, they're willing to pay more to satisfy what you're calling a fetish.
Well, yeah, I mean, the people who shop in my store are big music fans, and they really want to feel like they're part of this community. They really want to have something that they can hang on to. And, you know, I envision a future where, and I don't think it's that far-fetched. People always laugh when I say this, but, like, where MP3s and vinyl are the two formats that really, you know, carry on, you know, because CDs, the advantage of them over vinyl is strictly convenience factor, I think. You know, there was labels tried to push the sound quality issue, and I think that's hard to really stand by. I don't think they necessarily sound worse, but I don't think there's any reason to believe that digital quality is somehow better. An old beat-up record, obviously, gets scratchy and poppy, and maybe CDs are a little easier to maintain. But the reason people buy them, the reason people switch them, is that they're so much more convenient. You can pop them in your car. You can throw 10 of them in your bag and just go to your friend's house. That's real easy. And MP3s are a logical extension. They're even more convenient than CDs. They're easier to store. You can have hundreds of records on your little tiny iPod. All that makes a lot of sense. But if you really want to be in touch with the artist and feel like it's part of your life and have it take, you know, it takes up a whole wall of your house when you have a bunch of albums. And then you have to have a real stereo with a real turntable. It takes up a lot of space. It's a real object
okay,
that you're
so
really involved with.
So, Josh, that's what I want to ask you about. We're talking to Josh Madalco, owner of Other Music, a full-service record store and online retailer and MP3 store here in New York. So these are people that own turntables, but tell us, who are these people? Are we talking about old fans that grew up with turntables and never really grew out of vinyl, or are we talking about young people?
It's both. I mean, our store has a pretty wide demographic of people who shop in our store. Not as many young teenagers and high school kids, but everyone from, you know, late teens, early 20s up through, you know, 50s and 60s and older. And there's a lot of people who've been buying records forever, and they've been coming into our store every week since we've been open, you know, for like 11 or 12 years now. And they buy a couple LPs every week, and they obviously have a whole room of their house dedicated to it, and they have all that space. But there's more and more young people who are now buying vinyl. I mean, part of it to me is also tied into the fact that, and it's actually ironically, I guess, tied into the internet age where there's so much more information out there about music. People are listening to a lot wider array of styles of music now, too. A lot of young people now are really knowledgeable, not just about, you know, new indie rock or new dance music or something like that, but they listen to, you know, classical stuff from the 60s and, you know, free jazz, and they know a lot about folk and psychedelic music and a lot of obscure musics from a lot of different eras.
Or Josh, or maybe a band that's not so obscure, the band Spoon from Austin, Texas. You've told me that they're one of the hot sellers on vinyl in your store. And let's hear a track from their album, Ga 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 Ga. This is The Underdog, here on Soundcheck. Felt the need to get up for it. Oh, you cut out the middleman. You're free from the middleman. You got no time for the messenger. Got no regard for the thing that you don't understand. You got no fear of the underdog. That's why you will not survive. I wanna forget how convention fits, but can I get out from under it? Can I cut it out of me? Oh. That's Spoon with The Underdog, their album Ga 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 Ga. It came out a couple of months ago, and it's one of the big vinyl sellers at Other Music here in Manhattan right now. We've been talking to Josh Madel, the co-owner of Other Music, and we'll talk to Ed Christman in a second. But if you want to weigh in, you can go to the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Tell us, are you a vinyl shopper? What have you bought, and why do you like or dislike vinyl records? That's the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org. Ed, let's bring you back in. You're the senior retail correspondent for Billboard, and so I want to ask you, you know, you were talking earlier about a sales increase, a 22% sales increase this year for vinyl LPs. Again, it's a very small portion of the market, less than 1%. CDs and digital downloads more than dominate the market. But are the numbers that that SoundScan covers, this industry-accepted number, do they cover stores like Josh's store, Other Music, and smaller retailers that are selling new vinyl LPs?
They do cover those stores. Do they cover them all? No, but they have a good percentage of them. Maybe I'd say 25% of them, and it's like anything. It's like a survey for the president. They get a sample in, and then they project out numbers.
And so, I mean, but then is it possible that since it doesn't cover all of the stores, that it might be even a greater phenomenon going on than we're talking about?
It captures trends, and the trend that it's capturing is that the vinyl sales are going up. And yeah, could it be a little bit larger? Yeah. I think next year is really going to be the numbers are going to be more telling, because more people are becoming aware of what's going on with vinyl, and you have more labels putting out vinyl. The Warner Music Group has just appointed someone, actually the distribution company has appointed someone to oversee vinyl. That was a position that they haven't had for like 10 or 15 years. So, you know, as more vinyl becomes available and more people capitalize on it and more consumers become aware of its availability, you're going to see the vinyl sales increase. One of the things I pulled in preparation for this for the show is I had a couple of albums that have come out this year, and one of them is Wilco's Sky Blue Sky album. And so far, year-to-date, that's sold 239,000 units. The interesting thing is that 6,000 of those units were in LP, and 187,000 were in CD, and 45,000 were in digital. If you break that out by percentage, that's 78% CD, 19% digital, and 2.6% LP.
So, Josh,
I'm just showing that, you know, before we talk about 1% and 2%, but in where it's available, the numbers are 6%.
You know, Josh, and one thing I wanted to do is, you know, vinyl fans always seem to tout the advantages of vinyl over digital formats for one reason or another. I wanted to ask you about them. Ed, one of the benefits that people talk about is cover art. You know, it's getting harder and harder to actually see a cover as you get the CD, which is only, you know, 4 or 5 inches across, and then you get a digital download, and you might only get a JPEG file that's, you know, a couple of inches. How important is cover art to vinyl fans?
I mean, if you're asking me, it's the whole package. It's the artwork and just like kind of getting to stare at the thing. I mean, you know how it feels when you pull that record out and drop it on and you sit there staring at the picture on the cover. It's for people who are big fans and really want to be involved with the artist. I think it's really important, and I think for people who just want to hear the new single, maybe not so much. But I mean, those records that you mentioned are interesting cases, the Wilco and the Spoon. To me, one thing is the Wilco also, I'm pretty sure that Wilco LP didn't come out for maybe a month till after the CD came out. And I think in situations like that, if they do simultaneous releases, they're going to sell more. But both those records actually came with a digital component also, ways that the labels are trying to help support vinyl sales. The Wilco LP actually comes with a CD in the slip cover, just no package, but it's just in there. And the Spoon record comes with a passcode to get a free digital download of the whole album. So, you know, I think labels know that people want, that there is a convenience to digital, that if you have the vinyl, you can't listen to it in your car, you can't listen to it while you're out jogging or whatever, you know, however people like to consume music. And so they're often trying to throw you a bone, like, oh, they're buying the record already, let's give them a free download with it so they can have the digital, but they're really going to be, you know, paying for this whole, for the music and for the package of the LP.
Josh, you know, I wanted to finish with a question with you. We're almost running out of time, but the other strange phenomenon that's going on here is 45 singles seem to be really popular. A British newspaper was reporting earlier this summer that there was a 13% jump in the first half of this year in sales of what are called 7-inch singles. And, I mean, are you seeing the same thing here in the U.S. at other music?
I mean, I don't see it quite the same way. I mean, the British market has maintained a singles market much more than in the U.S. just in general. You know, singles are a lot bigger. Their CD singles are a lot bigger there. There's, you know, every record there, they do this thing where they release two CD singles for every song. And there's, you know, singles have maintained there a lot more than they have for indie, for underground music in America. But it's definitely coming back. I mean, the pricing is a problem because people do have trouble spending $5 or $6 for just two songs. I mean, singles are such a great format. The thing is, you have to have a great song to make it work, you know. And if there's a great single, because you got to really, especially with a vinyl single, you gotta. It's not just like it's in sequence on your iPod. You gotta find it on the shelf, pull it out, take it out of sleep, put it on for 3 minutes. So it's got to be a great 3 minutes.
Josh, on the other music side, I was checking out a single that I saw there by a band, a New York band called Vampire Weekend, and the single is like $9. And, you know, thinking you can buy other singles for 99 cents, people are really willing to pay, you know, $9 for two songs?
Yeah, and that's an interesting case because, you know, we sell that download. That's been actually one of our biggest downloads since the store launched just a couple months ago. And we've done, you know, several hundred of those, but the download costs $2.99 for three songs. Then there was a CD that I think was probably about $6 for three songs. But the vinyl ends up costing that much because that's the manufacturing cost. And again, it's like the labels have shot themselves in the foot by killing vinyl. Now all the plants closed. Now they want to do it again, and it costs.
All right. Well, Ed and Josh, we've got to leave it there. We've been speaking with Ed Christman, Billboard Senior Retail Correspondent, and Josh Medel, who co-owns Other Music, a record store here in New York. Ed and Josh, thanks very much for being on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
And as we leave with music from Vampire Weekend, coming up, indie country from Little Rock. Arkansas singer-songwriter Christopher Denny has been compared to Roy Orbison, and he covers songs by Johnny Cash. We'll hear a live performance after the break. This is Soundcheck.